Today on The Journey.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He leads me beside quiet waters so I can drink of Him. And when I am cast down, He gently restores my heart.
It's a visual masterpiece painted with words by dirt-stained hands and an awestruck heart. It's easily the greatest of King David's art, featuring a confident passion that resonates deep within the human soul. And today, Ron Moore begins an intimate look at that masterpiece, the 23rd Psalm. Just before that, I want you to note Ron's joyful holiday publication titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. Within its pages, you'll find thoughts and activities to make this Christmas the most meaningful and uplifting ever. Advent is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part one of The Lord is My Shepherd on The Journey.
As we continue our study through the Psalms, we come to what is perhaps the most well-known psalm of them all, Psalm 23. We're going to see today that behind these words are dirty hands working with dirty sheep, but always right in the middle of the sheep, we will see a shepherd who loves and cares for those stubborn and helpless creatures. Now, if you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23, you will see that this is a psalm of David. It was written by the great king of Israel. But long before David was the great king of Israel, he was a simple and lowly shepherd following in the footsteps of his father, Jesse. A man named Asaph writes in Psalm 78 the history of Israel, and he comes down to the end of the history right before David is anointed, and he puts before us these words: God chose David, His servant, and He took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of Israel. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. So David, the shepherd king, can write from first-hand experience, from tending the flock, David can write, "The Lord, He is my shepherd." This first line of the psalm is not a meditative, reflective statement to be whispered in low tones. The first line of this psalm is a boastful proclamation of confidence. It was proclaimed for all to hear. The sheep is saying, "I want to tell you who my shepherd is. Let me tell you about the one who bought me, and the one who loves me, and the one who cares for me, and the one who sacrifices for me, the one who nourishes me and protects me. My shepherd, the one I follow, the one I trust, the one I am solely dependent upon for my existence. My shepherd is none other than the Lord Himself." For the Christian, these words take on deeper significance when we move from the Old Testament to the New, and we hear Jesus say in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." As intimate as the relationship is between me and the Father, so intimate is the relationship between me and my sheep, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," it is a boastful proclamation of confidence. He is saying, "The Lord, God the Father, the author and originator of all that exists, He is my shepherd. He is the one who loves me and cares for me." And when we come to that realization in our lives, there is only one conclusion: I shall not be in want. I have everything I need. There is nothing He can't supply. There is no journey I need to go on that He can't lead me on. In fact, there's no journey that He's going to take me on that He's not already been on. I don't know the future ahead of me, but He does. And even when I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, even when I face life's biggest fear, even there, He is with me. Even there, He comforts me. Even there, He protects me. And when we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want," we have to be sure we understand this psalm is not saying that there will not be many challenges and there will not be many struggles in this life. There are plenty of challenges for sheep. Many times they wandered off and they got lost. Sometimes trying to get to that last piece of grass, they got stuck in a thicket and couldn't get away. Sometimes predators would come. Sometimes disease would spread among the flock. Sometimes they would be caught in storms and they would shiver in the cold. The same things happen to us. Jesus was clear in John 16, "In this world you will have trouble." In this world you will have trouble. But when the Lord is your shepherd, He will stand with you through every challenge. He will stand with you through every difficulty. He will never leave your side. And because of His presence, He will provide you everything you need. The Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is my shepherd. I can trust Him with the management of my life. After this statement of confidence, David, remember, is speaking from a sheep's perspective, begins to explain the actions of the shepherd. Well, let's see what the shepherd does. Look at verse 2. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, I have never been around sheep. I'm in Oklahoma, a lot of cattle. But as I did some research for this, I learned that sheep cannot lie down and rest unless four criteria are met. They have a rest checklist. First, sheep will not lie down and rest unless they are free from fear. Now, the only way a sheep can protect itself is to run. That's the good news. The bad news is they're not very fast. And so, if there is any sense of fear in the flock, they are on their feet, and they are either running or they are ready to run. They cannot rest when they are fearful. Does that resonate with you at all? Anyone here restless? You know what calms the fear in a flock of sheep? One thing. The presence of the shepherd. When the sheep see the shepherd, they can relax. They know that He's there to protect them. They know that He's going to take care of them. And they can lie down and rest. God tells us this to the prophet Isaiah. He says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I am with you. I am there. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so today, whatever fear you're facing, you can be calmed by the presence of the shepherd who is with you and lives in you. The second thing sheep have to check off their list is they have to be free from tension. There's always some bully sheep within the flock that cause tension. And they go around with their heads and they butt the other sheep or with their shoulders and push them away. If there's a ewe out grazing in some good land, the bully sheep goes and pushes the ewe away. If there's a ewe free from fear and tension, lying down, the bully sheep goes and nudges it and hits it and pushes it until it gets up and moves away. And when this continues to go on in a flock, the whole flock has tension. You know what causes the tension to stop? You know what causes the sheep to quit bullying? The presence of the shepherd calms the sheep. In our life, There's always potential for a lot of budding going on, isn't there? But the presence of the shepherd always eases the tension. Because at the heart of the person who likes to butt heads is simply an unmet need for recognition. When the shepherd is present in his or her life, their self-worth is not derived from butting heads, but the presence of the shepherd. Here's a third thing that caused sheep problems. Pests. Nasal flies and ticks can drive sheep absolutely mad. So it is with us. Little pests, like flies buzzing around our head, can drive us mad. We swat them away and they're back. And so it's the shepherd who comes in and deals with those pests, provides the spray or dips the sheep or provides the shelter. For us, it's the Holy Spirit who is with us and lives in us as believers, who comes and relieves us from the frustration. Doesn't mean the fly will try to come back again, but as we submit to Him, say, "Lord, I can't handle this. This is a little thing. I can't believe it's bothering me so much. But you're going to have to take care of it. I can't do it on my own. Got to relieve this tension from pests." And He does. There's a last thing on the sheep's checklist, and that is hunger. A sheep cannot rest when there's fear. A sheep cannot rest when there's tension. A sheep cannot rest when there are pests. And a sheep cannot rest when they're hungry. They're going to be on their feet looking for food. And that is why the good shepherd leads the flock to green pastures. He provides the place for me to lie down, free from fear, free from tension, free from pests, in green pastures. And there, free from hunger, I can eat and I can be satisfied. When a sheep are in a rich green pasture, there is a calmness about them. When the shepherd has led them to that place, the sheep ruminate, so they chew their cud, and they lie down, and they gain weight. It's said that in a green pasture, a mother's milk is so rich and heavy that a lamb can gain 100 pounds in 100 days. Think about that. In fact, in Scripture, you hear the term a land flowing with milk and honey. You know what that means? That means a rich, green pasture where the livestock eats those rich nutrients and the milk is rich and heavy. And where the bees come and feed on the blossoms and the land flows with honey. A land rich with milk and honey, or flowing in milk and honey, is a land rich in green pastures. And that's where our Lord leads us. He takes us to a place that is rich. Takes us to a place that flows with nourishment. You know what that is, don't you? It's His Word. Our green pastures are His Word. When we open this book and there is tension in our life, it is like moving into that green pasture and finding a soft place to lie down. It's through His Word that He calms us and instructs us and helps us to be free from fear and tension and pests, and to fill us with the nutrients that come from His Word. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Now, you know where David wrote this? David was writing from around Bethlehem. And the best sheep country is in the arid places. And so as David was penning the psalm, as he looked out, Bethlehem is a dry, sunburned wasteland around it. For there to be green pastures for the sheep, the shepherd has to go out and find a good field area. It's a result of clearing out the rock. It requires deep plowing and then seeding that area with special grains. It requires figuring out how to get water to come down to that area to irrigate it. It is tremendous toil. It takes a lot of time. It doesn't happen overnight. So the shepherd has to be getting fields ready for his flock. green pastures don't happen by chance. And in our lives, if our lives are going to experience the richness of a green pasture, guess what? God's going to have to do some work on us. Going to have to come and break some stony hearts. Going to have to take us through some experiences to stretch us and grow us. Green pastures just don't happen. They are hard work. Are you willing to submit to the Holy Spirit's control in your heart, in your life, to allow Him to do the things that He needs to do to make your life rich and green and nourishing, not only to yourself but to others? Not only does He make me lie down in green pastures, but He leads me beside quiet waters, or the old King James, still waters. When sheep are thirsty, they drink anything. There's a couple problems with that. They will drink from stagnated pools of water made from ruts or potholes. And with that very shallow water, there is an infestation of internal parasites. And so when they are drinking that water, thinking they are nourishing themselves, they are taking in parasites and killing themselves sometimes. And so the shepherd finds a stream where there are deep pools of water where the sheep can drink pure and fresh water. In the spiritual comparison, we're thirsty as well, aren't we? All the religions in the world demonstrate that our hearts are yearning for something. And people, like sheep, drink from polluted potholes. You know what one of those potholes is? The polluted, infested pothole of materialism. And we drink it deep. Because if you just have a little bit more, then you'll be satisfied. Make a little bit more money, then we'll be satisfied. Little bigger things, then we'll be satisfied. That is a polluted pothole. Others drink from the polluted potholes of achievement or more knowledge or caught up in some hobby, physical activity, and of course other religions to quench their spiritual thirst. When there's only one fresh pool, Jesus said in John chapter 7, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." If anyone is truly thirsty, there's only one place you will find a pure pool, a deep pool that will quench your thirst. And that is Jesus Christ. One more thing before we close. He restores my soul. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet streams. He restores my soul. Sheep are helpless animals. And when sheep roll over on their backs, they can't get up. It's a predicament that is called cast. If a sheep is on its back, it is a cast sheep, or it is a cast down sheep. When we talk about our souls being cast down, oh my soul, David says, he is thinking of a sheep on its back, not being able to get up. And when the sheep is on its back, it is a pathetic sight. Its feet move frantically in fear and frustration. And when they kick around, it shuts off the circulation to their feet. So the sheep that were kicking frantically, all of a sudden they stop. Their feet are paralyzed. They're asleep. When the weather is hot, they can last for a few hours. If the weather is cool, they can last for a few days. In any weather, they are easy prey for buzzards and vultures and any hungry predator. So when the shepherd counts his sheep and he finds one missing, he goes and looks for the sheep that is caught in a thicket or lost or, more often than not, cast down. And when he finds a cast down sheep, here's what he does. He runs to the sheep because many times he doesn't know how long it's been there. He turns it gently over on its side, and then he stands over the sheep And he reaches down and he begins to massage the legs of the sheep so the blood will start back. And sometimes the sheep will take off and just stumble and fall down again because their legs aren't ready to carry them. So he'll do it again. There are times when our soul is cast down. There are times when we are hurting. Maybe we've wandered away. Maybe it's our own fault. Maybe we've been entangled in sin, a weak area for us, and we did it again. But never forget, the Good Shepherd is out looking for you. And very gently he comes to you and with his Spirit massages your legs, gets the blood circulating again so you can stand up. You may be cast down. You may be on your back. There's one who can turn you over and restore your soul. The Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Do you know when sheep are in most danger of being cast down? Three things. Sheep that lie down on a soft spot in the grass, not realizing that when they get up, they're on unstable territory and they fall over. Soft spots. Sheep weighed down by wool. They're carrying too much stuff. And they try to get up and they can't. Sheep that are too fat are in a lot of danger of being cast down. And you know what? Some of you are in too much danger because you're on a soft spot spiritually. You're not in the Word. You're not memorizing Scripture. You're not interacting with other believers. You're in a soft spot spiritually. It's dangerous. Maybe many of you are here, you're Christians, but you're weighed down by too much wool. You got too much stuff. Your life exists for one reason: to carry all your stuff. Or maybe you're just too fat as a Christian, too self-indulgent. Not a lot of spiritual service, just a lot of taking it in, but not giving it back. You are in danger of falling on your back and being cast down. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures, nourishing me. He leads me beside quiet water so I can drink of Him. And when I am cast down, He gently restores my heart.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Does your frantic holiday schedule threaten to push the true meaning of Christmas to the back shelves of your mind and heart? Would you like to recapture the wonder of the season and share it with friends and family? You can do that with Ron's holiday guide titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It shares devotions and activities crafted from carefully selected scripture readings. There, Ron helps you rekindle the anticipation of Christ's first coming and celebrate His joyous arrival on Christmas Day. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, will enrich your spirit this holiday season. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Sheep are creatures of habit. And left to themselves, they will go over the same path until it is worn into a rut. They'll graze on the same ground until there is nothing left to eat. When sheep are left to themselves, the old cliche fits them well, they get stuck in a rut. And so do we. And so the shepherd keeps the sheep on the move. And David says our shepherd does the same thing. He leads us on paths of righteousness, or better, paths of obedience.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It'll give each day of the holiday season joyful meaning as Ron guides you through the Advent calendar. Advent, Preparing for Christmas is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? And please remember, the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.